Hello and welcome to the Chapter by Chapter podcast. I'm Ainsley.
And I'm Kiana, and we are your two book-loving besties.
Whether you're a lover of trading real life for fictional worlds,
obsessing over men written by women,
or even completely new to reading,
we're the girls you can rely on to laugh, rant, and bond over it all.
We're glad you've joined us as we turn the page and dive into this week's chapter. I cannot believe we are officially here recording our very first episode of our podcast.
This is wild.
Welcome.
Welcome, everyone.
The biggest welcome ever.
Literally. I can't believe that this has happened and we have made it because to our first episode.
Our first episode, because remind me again, how did this even come about?
Well, isn't that a story? Talk about 1 a.m., had the worst shift at work and decided, how about I quit my job and we open a bookstore? But instead we decided we can't afford that.
So unfortunately, in this economy.
A podcast is kind of our medium. But I feel like we did a good job. We stuck with it.
Mm-hmm. The two girls who have many an idea that often don't come to fruition. I cannot believe how well we have just executed this entire thing.
Yep.
And now here we are, sitting
here
across from one another.
We are.
Ready and so excited.
A 1 a.m. story. A 1 a.m. chat. Two delusional girlies having a chat at 1 a.m. about a podcast, and we've made it.
Literally, like a month and a half later. It's something that we sort of played around with the idea with for ages, but it was a pipeline dream. It was something I think we never thought we would commit and actually do, but we've proved ourselves wrong,
and I'm
so happy about it.
I know. I am also very happy, and I'm very excited to get into this week's chapter.
This week's chapter for sure. And I think that it's crazy that this has come all full circle because of the way that we met.
Yeah. Tell us about that, Ainsley. That
is, it is so wild, the fact that this is all so bookish, because Kiana and I met, which, shocker, I know a lot of you listening would be because we met you through social media, but Kiana and I didn't know of each other's existences until a midnight book release in 2023, which is wild to think that that was the very first time that we ever met in person.
Wait, I think you mean 2024.
Was it 2024? Oh, it was January 2024.
Yeah, it was Sarah J Maas's House of Flame and Shadow.
So that's it was January 2024.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Which is only like a year ago from... A year and a couple of months from today.
Crazy. I know. So picture this. Yeah, two people who don't really know each other from a bar of soap, apart from being chucked into a group chat, and we realize that we're both on the Sunshine Coast, which for those listening is in Queensland, Australia. And the fact that we then just basically got forced to
sit in a car together for 4 hours.
Yeah,
become friends.
Talk about a way to get to know whether or not you'll click with someone is 4 hours of just driving time on a highway as we went to one of our favorite authors' releases.
Yeah.
And literally it was an absolute blast.
Yeah, it was such a great night too. The best midnight release party we have been to. Like, I know we haven't been to a lot, but that was top tier, and what a great way to start our friendship and a lot of our friendships, honestly, with a lot of other bookish creators.
So true. We have met so many brilliant, fundamental people to our tastes as well. Like, think about how many book recommendations we get from those friends.
Yep.
Just whoever tells you not to make friends on the internet, just don't listen to them. Don't listen to them.
This is your sign to actually...
You could meet your best friend on social media.
Literally. You post that TikTok video, girl.
Truly. Make that Instagram account. Start that TikTok account. And now for us, start that podcast.
Yes, literally. And we have started and we are here and we are so excited to...
tap into this week's chapter, which I think we need to address the cyclone in the room.
The cyclone, yes, not the elephant, the cyclone, the literal cyclone that we have survived this week.
I know, it has been crazy. We are lucky we're at the tail end of it now, and we didn't really cop any of it, but we just thought, for some context, we've actually had to put off recording because of how bad the weather has been, because a cyclone Alfie came to visit Queensland.
Yes, he dipped in and dipped out and really hang around for very long, did
he? No, but just a ton of rain, moody days, a lot of sitting around reading.
Yep.
It's been actually not too bad, if I'm totally honest.
Yeah, it was kind of like an excuse to have many, many cozy days. Mm-hmm. We were forced not to leave the house, kind of felt a bit like COVID again, but...
Definitely
got some reading done. I feel like we were excited to film and produce some content, but obviously we got limited. So Kindle, coffee, matcha, couch, aesthetic, YouTube video reading vibes. That was kind of our weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So
what have you been reading?
Well, actually, that is a story. I have been diving into The Rebel Witch, which, as you know, Ainsley, is my most anticipated release for 2025. And I tried to get my hands on this early and wasn't able to. So I had to wait very, very patiently. And so far, not so good.
Oh, she's spilling the tea. She hasn't spoken to me about this.
I have not told you anything.
No, I just, yeah, spoiler free. Just give us a little bit. How far into it are you? This is sort of like really, really sad because of how excited I know you've been for this.
Look, I'm about, I think I'm 50%. I feel like I'm halfway now. So look, it's there's a little bit of a elephant in the room with this book, I think. And the hard thing is I don't want to give it away for a lot of people that are reading it. Like, I've seen so many people love it. So many people rate it 5 stars. I know a few people have been rating it 3 stars as well, but it's mainly the fact that it is giving me reckless vibes.
As in Lauren Roberts.
As in reckless. Lauren Roberts.
Oh,
reckless.
No.
She, and if you know me, which I know you know me, that is not my favorite book. So I'm hoping, like, going from halfway, we've still got something else, like a plot twist in the story or something else we explore. So I'm not giving up on it. I'm not hating it. It's just things are reminding me of that book, which is not what I wanted for
that's
this.
So devastating. So
I'm a little bit disappointed at the moment. I have high hopes because of how many people have thoroughly enjoyed it. But that is what I've been reading this week.
I hope it redeems itself.
Have you been reading something a bit better?
Because, yeah, I have not yet picked up The Rebel Witch. I am excited for it, but it wasn't something I wanted to jump straight into. I have actually been reading the third and final installment in Mistborn Era 1 of Brandon Sanderson, which I've had a bit of a crazy reading week, I think, given the weather and how much time we've had just to sit around.
Yeah.
I binge read Butcher and Blackbird by Bryn Weaver. That was a bit of a fever dream of a book, which I still don't know if I liked or not. I think it's more just like a silly, goofy time. And I was reading it just to kind of refresh myself and get ready to lock into this 750-page book of Hero of Ages. And so far, I think I'm 25% in, which
is a
lot.
Chunk.
It's a lot of pages. Yeah. It is phenomenal so far. I am loving it so much more than installment number 2, which I still enjoyed, but I thought was quite slow. But this has just been... It's just, I have no idea where this book is going, and his world building and his character development, everything about this has just got me on the edge of my seat, so scared for every single character involved. Truly just, I am having the best time ever. And at night times, I've been reading my fan fiction, All the Young Dudes, which is a Marauders fan fiction for our Harry Potter girlies out there. If you ever wanted to know what it might have been like to follow the parents of our main characters through Hogwarts, this is Sirius, Remus, and the Marauders, their story of Hogwarts, and it is giving me life. I stay up until an ungodly hour every single night reading it.
And I second that, because I'm normally the one staying up to that ungodly hour reading, and lately it's been Ainsley. And I think we have switched places. I'm the one going to bed at 10:30, tucked in with not my cup of tea, because I don't have one, but so I'm the one that's been tucked in at 10:30 going to sleep, and you're the one that's been staying up. And I think it's really catching up with you this week.
Oh, yeah, it's hit me. My body is going, please, can we go back to our grandma ways? Yep. Because it's so unhappy with me. I'm so tired all the time. I'm napping during the day. But truly, if you wanted a fan fiction suggestion, it is written phenomenally, and it is so wholesome. If you want another experience of like reading the Harry Potter books for the first time, it is giving me so much pleasure to read that. But that is what I've been reading.
I feel like that's great for people that have, like, I feel like I've been seeing a lot of people read Manacled at the moment as well. Ooh, and I feel like if you're really enjoying being in the Harry Potter fanfic world, then that would be a great recommendation for those that are just wanting more, because I know I'm always wanting more, says me, who's been sitting at 60% of Manacled for about 3 months now. But let's not address that.
Yeah, we will not address that today, because I am an absolute lover of Manacled. And I think if you just love the original story and you don't want it tampered with too much, you just want more of the same, it's perfect for that, because it's not rewriting history per se. It's just giving you more Hogwarts, and it is phenomenal. Oh,
which is great. Mm-hmm. Which then leads us into our quote of the week this week that we have been reading. So do you want to start with your quote of the week?
I sure will. Now, my quote is from a book that isn't yet out, so I'm actually not going to name the book, which may be a little bit annoying, but this is supposed to be a very out of context, yet I hope it intrigues you, quote. And it says, "You want to throw me down, and I, prideful, disdainful, godless, want to drag you into the dirt right there with me."
you had me on the edge of my seat wanting this book. And I'm so jealous because I know what this book is and I know you've been reading it and I know you've been absolutely loving it. So
there
that just
so
has me
many that I wanted to do for that, but I don't want to spoil any of the more tension filled moments for anybody. Yes. So that one I just thought is giving a little taste, but oh, that book.
What a taste though. That
can't wait till we can talk about it.
Yes, I know. Well, give me a few months and then maybe we'll be able to. My quote of the week is one, and I will tell you the book that it's from. It is from Out on a Limb, which Ainsley has not read yet. It is on her TBR for this month. But I absolutely adored this book. And this quote was just a funny quote that stuck with me. Anyway, I would describe my frame as fairly average. I enjoy long walks, swimming and dancing, but I equally love rainy days plastered to the couch, pastries and overly sweetened coffees.
That is you to a T. That is the absolute balance of Kiana right there.
Literally, my comment to that quote was speaking to my soul.
Yeah, and that was Out on a Limb by Hannah Bonham Young, right?
Yes, which is my first Hannah Bonham Young book. But
they've really punched her books out lately.
Yeah,
I feel
they
like
have. And I feel
world.
Like I really loved that more than I thought. It caught me by surprise, that book. Mm. And yeah, it was such a highly rated book for me. And I know you're very excited for it. So I'm so excited for when you read it and we can actually talk about it.
We can actually talk about it. I know, because I went searching high and low for that book. That book was like bounty hunter level sort of trying to find.
Yeah.
But yeah, I will be reading it this month, hopefully. So
I feel like it was like hard to find, but now it's kind of everywhere. Like, I don't know if because it was first released, everyone was excited. If you don't know, our covers here in Australia look a lot different to the US covers.
Oh yeah.
But I was very excited to pick this up. I wasn't planning to read it, but it happened to end up on my TBR for the month.
And so not mad about it.
Not mad about it. Very, very. So we've got one book that I'm reading that I'm disappointed with and one I'm surprised by. So it's quite an even balance.
I was going to say, one's making up for the other because truly that is so sad about The Rebel Witch. But today we thought a fun little intro into who we are as readers. If you already know us a bit as readers, this will give you a bit more of like a taste into just the inner workings of our bookish minds. We thought a really fun way to introduce the podcast and just like us as your hosts is we are going to do a bookish Q&A, but to one another, of our recap of 2024. We have about 12 or so questions that we have asked ourselves. Neither of us know the answer that the other person has given for them, but they are all going to reflect our feelings about books that we read in 2024. And I think hopefully you might get some recommendations or you might just be able to have a bit of a laugh. But we just thought that would be a really fun way for us to like introduce us and our tastes.
Definitely, definitely. And I feel like we've got a lot of different books on here. I feel like some of these questions, I probably know your answers, Ains, but it made me reflect on the books that I read last year. And I feel like I didn't really get time at the end of the year to do that either. I feel like we kind of just like finished the year, said sayonara to all the books that we read and decided that we'd just jump into our TBR for 2025.
So it's like a trip down memory lane.
It literally is. And it made me appreciate like what I actually read last year. Cause I feel like towards the end of the year, we were in a very big reading slump.
Yeah.
And so it kind of made me appreciate the books that we did love throughout the year.
Cause there were some good ones. There were some really good ones. And we've tried to make sure that there was, these questions are balanced between some positive, some not so positive, and then just some other like fun ones as well. But we tried to keep it a big balance because there's so many good ones that I think we want to shine some light on.
And so many recommendations that we want to give you guys as well. Like, I feel like we could totally have just done a recommendation video of all our fantasy reads or our romance reads, but this way you kind of get an insight into how we felt about these books and like why we put them as answers to these questions.
Absolutely. So, without further ado, okay, would you like to hit us off with the first question?
Sure. Our first question we've got is, out of all of our books that we read in 2024, which do we wish we could make everyone read?
Wowza. What a question. I have two for this just because I think that my one book that I wish I could gift every single person a copy of that I read in 2024 was The Nightingale by Kristen Hannah.
Ooh, that is a great choice.
That's one that I could fairly confidently give to nearly any reader and think that they would enjoy. I do have in brackets, if they're a fantasy reader, When the Moon Hatched by Sarah A. Parker.
Yeah.
But I think that that one I would not recommend to everyone. So I will stick to The Nightingale because that book truly changed me as an individual.
that I highly agree with both of those books. Mm-hmm. I definitely, absolutely, I think I rated both of them 5 stars actually. So I feel mm-hmm. like we're in the same page with that.
Same.
I'm pretty sure I was forcing you to read The Nightingale for so long and it took
you're
me
the reason
so,
why I bought it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I don't think I was the reason why you read it because I kept telling you and then finally.
I can't remember why I picked it up
yeah,
in the
end. Yeah, I don't know. Probably I feel like you got it on your TBR and then you just decided to yeah, pick it up. So yeah, so anyway, I've got one book
yeah.
and I feel like it is a fantasy book and mm-hmm. it is The Crimson Moth, but I have picked it because I feel like it is a book that can be read by any sort of reader. I feel like mm-hmm. even though it's a fantasy book, I feel like it is one that is perfect for if you are a romance reader because it does have quite a romance, I wouldn't even say subplot. I feel like it's kind of the main plot yeah. of the story. And I found that the magic system was really easy to understand. And absolutely. It's a quick, quick, fast-paced book where you could just binge it in 24 hours.
That's such a good rec. Yeah.
Absolutely. I know I'm just reading The Rebel Witch. And I know I'm like kind of giving you two different sides of the coin right now. But I definitely think The Crimson Moth is such a good book to recommend
that
to
is
so many people.
That's such a good solid rec. I think most people will enjoy it. At the yeah. very least, they will enjoy it. And it's very entry person friendly, as well as we're very, like, we read a lot of fantasy and
yep.
we both enjoyed it. So
yeah, definitely.
Such a good recommendation. Okay, on to question two. We have...
Bum, bum, bum.
What was your most disappointing read of 2024? I wonder if we'll have the same answer for this.
I feel like we don't because I don't think you read this book. You would know 100% what my book is. Would you like me to start?
You can go okay. first. I know what your book is now that you've said that, yes.
Everyone that knows me knows that this is Reckless by Lauren Roberts. It's a 2-star book for me, but should have been a DNF. Honestly, it is not a fantasy book, even though it is marketed as a fantasy book. Definitely think it was for the romance girlies, and I found it very stagnant and repetitive. So, unfortunately, I'm not a huge lover of Lauren Roberts' series Powerless, and I don't think I will be continuing the series after this read.
I absolutely will not be continuing that. I wasn't the biggest lover of Powerless, and so I don't
you didn't
even
get to Reckless. You're like, I read Powerless and that's it.
Truly, I'm like not here to challenge any of that. That is completely valid and fair, and I don't think you're alone in that opinion either.
Yeah, no, I think definitely it's a mixed bag out there of reviews for people, but for mm-hmm. me as a majority fantasy reader, I'd say it just wasn't my cup of tea.
Do you think you'll read the next one that's coming out? And I think it's next month.
I just said I wasn't going to
continue. Oh, you're not going to continue
it at
all?
No, I'm not going to. I can't. Okay. Yeah, I can't continue the series. I just think she's not a writer for me. So, unfortunately, I will not be continuing that series.
Bow, bow.
Anyway, what is your most disappointing read, Ainsley?
My most disappointing read by sheer just expectation and... I will explain myself. The House of Flame and Shadow release was disappointing
yeah.
just by way of how much was set up and how much potential I think it had, and then how much enjoyment I ended up having. I think there is a huge discrepancy between the two. I understand that there are people who went really hard into the theories of it all, and that is why they were disappointed, because they had a sort of expectation of where they wanted. I'm not going to say anything about the plot. Don't worry, I won't spoil yeah. anything, but... mine isn't coming from a place of there were things that I wanted it to do that it didn't. Mine is just what Sarah decided to do with the plot felt yeah. very unearned, and it felt very scattered, and it truly, for a book that had so much yeah. almost ready lined up for it to go, it just felt like we kind of threw this last minute plot together. And I just think it was chalk and cheese when you compare book one to book three.
100%, yeah.
They just feel like they were written by two different people in my mind. And yep. yeah, I just remember finishing it. I think I borderline skim read the last like 40 pages just because
yeah,
I was
okay.
so disappointed in just how it was all tied up.
Yeah.
So that was my biggest disappointment let
Which
down to the year.
I can definitely reason with that. And yeah. I definitely had similar feelings reading House of Flame and Shadow, unfortunately. And I know we have both said this many times, but she talked about in an interview, I think, how she actually rewrote the entire book.
Yeah, what I would give to
yeah,
read the original.
What we would give to read the original and compare it to what actually we got. Because mm-hmm. I feel like you said, it was really disappointing. I still love her as a writer, and
absolutely.
Her writing is absolutely sensational, but that book in itself just not was not what we wanted or expected, I feel.
And it's like, it wasn't even like a one star or anything like that. I think I landed on a three just because I think there was enough in there, obviously, to keep me reading. And there were elements that I enjoyed. But for the most point, the overarching plot and how we got to where we got, I just remember thinking that it felt a bit ridiculous.
Particularly with the bombshell ending we got at book two, you were kind of had high expectations going into book three.
Yeah.
So I feel like it was a little bit of a letdown. But hopefully the next release, ACOTAR 5, 6, whatever you want to call it, whenever, will provide all the goods that we missed in House of Flame and Shadow.
Hopefully. Okay.
Okay. So our next one we've got is our most surprising read for 2024.
Yeah. This was actually pretty easy for me to pick, only in that I really didn't know how I was going to feel about it. And I've got A Diary of Blood because I loved that book.
You did.
So much.
You would die on a hill for that book, I reckon.
I would. I loved everything about that book by S.T. Gibson. It is a Dracula, not a Dracula retelling. I'm actually not super familiar with the original text, but it is said from the perspective of one of his lovers as like confessionals slash love letters after they have just murdered him, which is a really unique, it's from second point of view, which I very rarely read from.
Yeah.
And I just think it was short, sweet, poetic, and it brought out so much in me. And I went through so much in the limited time that we had with the author. And I can't believe it. It surprised me because I really just thought it was going to be just another book, and it ended up being probably my top three books of last year.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. See, I did not see that coming. I thought you would enjoy it, and like I definitely enjoyed it, but it's kind of a book that like I would recommend to certain people, but
that's fair.
It's not ever been my top book, but it's not been a book that I disliked. So that's kind of just been a book that I really enjoy. If you're looking for something like that, I would probably recommend it.
Very gothic-y, very sultry. It's a very, you've got to be in the right mood to read a book like that.
You definitely do. Yeah. Unfortunately, my dogs chewed my copy of
I know, it's so heartbreaking because you read it quite a bit earlier than I did.
Yeah. I had the tall version when it was still like the back in those days.
Back in those days.
But anyway, I think I ended up rating it a 4-star when I read it. Mm. So it was definitely a high up there read for me, but not a top read. But I'm so glad that you really did love it. And I was very surprised.
Yeah. I was surprised. I was so surprised that I loved it.
I would not have picked that.
No. What was your surprising read?
My most surprising read was Leather and Lark by Bryn Weaver, which I know you've just read Butcher and Blackbird and you haven't read Leather and Lark yet, but I'm very excited for you to pick this one up. You know that I very much disliked Butcher and Blackbird. I feel like we have very differing opinions today, but I was not very well. I was physically unwell when I read Butcher and Blackbird. So I think that may have contributed to why I didn't love it so much. I was physically nauseous.
To be fair, the more I think back on it, the less I enjoy it. So I think we're more. I'm coming down to ground to Kiana. Yeah.
Anyway, I definitely love this a lot more. It was unhinged, but not as unhinged as Butcher and Blackbird. I feel like you got very disgusting moments. Gory. That's the word. Yeah, gory moments from the get-go in Butcher and Blackbird. But I feel like in Leather and Lark, it kind of, you got to know the characters and the story a bit first. Mm-hmm. So, also, it's a marriage of convenience trope.
I had no idea.
Yeah, I didn't know either till I read it. But
that's fun.
Yeah.
Ooh,
so
serial killers in a marriage of convenience.
Yep.
Who would have thought in the year of 2024?
I know. Please, when you do read it, Ainsley, listen to the audiobook at the same time because the audiobook is so good.
Something phenomenal is that they put the male and female, voice actors into the allotted phrases in the other person's chapter, if that makes any sense. And it is phenomenal. Game changing.
Literally game changing.
Truly so good. The next question that we have is, what was your most emotionally devastating read of 2024, Miss Kiana?
Okay, I feel like it wouldn't be emotionally devastating without a book from Chloe Walsh. So I haven't put a specific book, but I've just put anything I read that was written by Chloe Walsh in 2024, which is pretty much three books out of the Boys and Tommen series. I think I read Binding, Keeping, and Redeeming Well, saving six. I can't remember which one. Anyway, I think it was mainly Binding and Keeping that I read in 2024. And then I think I kind of read half and half at the end of 24, 25, start of 25. So yeah, I just think that reading this book, I know so many of you absolutely adore this series. And I am definitely one of those people. And reading Keeping 13, especially, Ainsley, you need to get onto that. I read particularly a part of that book at a certain time of night, at 2 a.m. at night time, and it just hit me like a bus.
I remember the photo,
the
I
voice
got
notes
of you.
And photos and everything else that I sent you of me just bawling my eyes out.
You would think that a parent had passed or something like that.
Literally, yeah. So I think that book hit me very, probably the most emotionally hitting book out of the series was Keeping 13 for me. And I do have a TikTok video of me pretty much crying for the entire time of my vlog of reading the end of Keeping 13. So it definitely is my most emotionally devastating, but it's also very satisfying at the same time. And I love a good cry and I love reading a sad book. So I'm not mad about it and I'm so glad that I read it, but I just can't wait for you to read it so we can talk about it again.
I do really need to. Yeah, me sitting here just like going, yes, that's what I've got to look forward to.
I have no idea what you're sad about, but
no,
I'll support you either way.
Yeah, I'll be here and that will be me in the coming months when
I'll
eventually pick it up.
And I'll be like, there, it's okay.
Surely.
When you come back in tears in like 2 months when you've read it.
I know. I don't think I'm prepared for it, honestly.
Probably not the book for you to be reading right now. I feel like, like you said, you need to really be in the mindset to be reading a book like that. But
absolutely.
When you do read it and it hits, it hurts so much, but it's so good at the same time. So
yeah, I'm getting ready.
If you're
for
looking
it,
for
slowly.
That,
yeah,
definitely
I'll wind
read
into it.
It.
So I had two because I truly couldn't. Okay, my first answer and the book that I don't think I've ever cried this much reading a book was Magnolia Park's Into the Dark.
True,
I was distraught on multiple points to the point that I had to put the book down because of the way that she was. It's not one of those types of stories where one event happens and then you cry and that part's sad. It was the way that she depicted throughout the rest of the story, how it affected and flowed on, and oh my goodness me, so many elements of those books, if I flick to any tab or any highlight, I will immediately just start crying. So that was a book that I just, when I think about it, it was so perfect but so unbelievably heartbreaking.
It's one of those books ever. Isn't it?
But I did also read The Nightingale in the same year, and when I think back to them both, I just think of there are multiple TikToks of me shedding many a tear to those books.
Yeah,
The Nightingale is almost on par with that as well, but almost for completely different reasons.
Yeah,
because it's so
definitely
historically true.
Yeah,
that is almost what is more harrowing, whatever that word is, because the fact that it happened and that these are kind of feeling like true stories, even though it is a work of fiction, that haunts me. Like, it keeps me up at night that that story would resonate for some people's real lives. That World War II whole area, that thing was just, it was awful. The last, I think I cried on and off throughout that. I think every other chapter I was crying in that book as well. So between the two, it was emotional devastation no matter where I looked.
I think every single person I've seen that's read The Nightingale has sobbed their eyes out.
Even people who don't cry in books, they cry to those books.
Whereas I feel like Magnolia Parks is very relatable for a lot of people. I feel like I related quite heavily to that book. I'm not going to discuss why, because I feel like that's a big spoiler if you haven't read the series.
Oh,
but I also cried a lot reading that. And I'm getting teary.
I know. I'm like watching it and I'm like, I know. I'm like, don't cry, because then
don't cry.
No, because I will cry as well. No,
and then we'll just be crying.
Yeah, the whole podcast will just be us crying.
But yeah, no, definitely so worthwhile. I think they were all 5 stars. They were both 5 stars for us, The Nightingale and Into the Dark. So if you're looking for an emotionally devastating book,
if you haven't read them yet, please do.
Please. They're our god tier books, I would say. They're in our god tier category.
Absolutely.
Moving on to the next one, we've got the most unique book that you read in 2024. And Ainsley, I feel like you should start with this one.
This one was a really, really strange book that I picked up at 10 o'clock at night one night. And it
don't know what this is.
Far the most unique thing I have ever read. And it was a 90-page book called The Six. Oh, it wasn't even 90. I think it was 45.
God, I remember this.
45 pages. And it's called The Six Deaths of the Saint by Alex.
I remember you telling me about this as we were driving to TK Maxx. Probably shop for decor items.
Absolutely. It's a fantasy story that is 39 pages, I think it is. I keep changing the page number only because I can't remember exactly. Just needless to say, it's less than 50 pages long. And what it was able to accomplish in that amount of story, I know that that sounds skeptical and that you'd think, what could a book possibly do?
I am very skeptical.
It was so impactful what it was able to do. And I really can't say much about what the plot is, but it is essentially a woman living through multiple lifetimes, or what appears to be multiple lifetimes, again and again and again, as some sort of figure guides her through each lifetime, each time. And it is just this story of what you would do for recognition, for love, for justice, for yourself and for people that you love, and for acceptance. And it was just, there are books that I've read that are, say, 20 times the length that didn't have the same impact and the same sort of takeaways that that 39 page book did.
It's wild that it is 39 pages. When mm-hmm. you were telling me this, I feel like I could nearly have read 39 pages by the time that you have told me truly. How much this
it only takes like 45 minutes, so please. And I think it's only like 99 cents on Kindle. If you are just ever thinking, I have no idea what I kind of want to read, just please just give this a try. There are a bunch of them together, short stories, but this was just a particular one, and it was phenomenal. I can't really say anything else because that would be the whole 39 pages, but it was...
Spoiler alert, we just told you the whole story.
Yeah, truly, yeah, the whole story. But no, she earned every word of that. It was so incredible. It's less of a, you know, long, flowery story and yeah. more of a, these are some take-home themes that you really makes you think and yep. ponder, and you almost want to reread it again kind of a thing.
Which I feel like you could reread it if it's 39 pages.
You really could. Yeah. In the doctor's waiting room yep. or like waiting for literally. Your, I don't know, script to be filled or something.
You could 100%. You could probably read three of those, I reckon.
Truly.
I'm speaking from experience. okay, so the most unique book that I read in 2024 was Immortal Dark by Tigger Skirmer. Mm-hmm. And again, another fantasy book. It was a debut book. And she is an Australian author, which we love. So it was just... so vibey, the vampiric academic setting that this was set in, and the house setting.
Oh, yeah.
And just like the different
sentient house.
Yeah. Oh, and so just like cool. the location of like where the like vampire bites cause different things as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just was like so different and unique to something that I hadn't read in a fantasy book. And yeah, I was just so obsessed with everything about this book, and it was absolutely. Such a surprising, again, another surprising book for us.
Because we read it as an advanced reader copy, which really yeah. can go one of two ways when you are yep. It's a debut author as well as a storyline that really could go one of two ways. So for it to have impressed us, we ended up meeting the author, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
So we went trekked down to Brisbane, which yep. is about an hour and a half away.
We took one wrong turn and oh we're late.
Don't put me on maps, guys.
Yeah.
It was a stressful nightmare, but it was beautiful to have met an Australian author that was just so confident and so yeah. like she just knew her book and
she
knew her characters yeah. and it made me feel that much more excited for the rest of the series.
It didn't feel like a debut book when you read it.
Absolutely the not. Writing her writing is phenomenal.
It is for yeah absolutely incredible. And there's one particular part in this book that I loved. It's a plot, I'm not gonna spoil it for you guys, but it is a plot twist at a mm-hmm. party.
Yes.
Big that time. Jaw drop moment.
Yeah.
Jaw absolutely. Drop moment. Yeah. And I was just not expecting that whatsoever. And yeah. I was like, did we really just do that? And we yeah. did.
It
we went there.
It was an unbelievably unique book. There is nothing I've really yeah. read that is similar to it.
Neither. And I think about all the things that happened and I was like looking over that book and reading like annotations and I'm like, mm-hmm. wow, there's just so many different things that we went through and experienced in this book. So if you haven't read Immortal Dark, please, if you do love vampires,
dark fantasy
yeah. in like an academic type of setting, definitely one for you guys to pick up.
We
so
loved it. We loved
I'm
it,
so
loved
glad it, that it. I read that last year.
Yeah. Okay. So this one here is a popular new release that you didn't care to read. Is there a book that came out last year that you didn't read?
Yeah. And I feel like we may have the same book for this one. Mm-hmm. It is Quicksilver by Kelly Hart.
Kelly Hart. Yeah, Kelly that's Hart? Who it is. I didn't yeah. actually think about that one. No.
Yeah. So I feel like we have discussed this, how we have just not really realized why we haven't wanted to pick this up. I feel like
just
it's
not drawn
one
to it for some reason.
Because like normally we are people that if we see a fantasy book in particular getting a lot of hype on BookTok, we are the first people to go out and purchase that book and start reading. And for some reason, we were very hesitant with this book. And I think now that more people have read it and people are saying that a lot of the fantasy world and what happens in this book is not different to all the other fantasy series we read, I feel like that's one of my main reasons for not wanting to pick it up. So I just want something that's like, I've been, especially with fantasy books, when they, when you read so many and they all start to feel the same, you don't want to pick them up.
And we really crave uniqueness, I think.
Yeah. So I feel like if you're someone who's read Quicksilver and you're absolutely obsessed, it's a 5-star read for you, and you're just like, no, you need to read this, please let us know, because I need someone to kind of tell me that to pick it up, because at this stage it is sitting on my bookshelf. And
you've bought it, have you?
I bought it, yeah.
Oh, I haven't even gotten that far. I just stare at it at the bookstore and then I walk past it. Not because I think I pre-ordered it, actually.
Oh, I'm pretty sure I pre-ordered it.
Yeah. Well, it had so much between the publishing house and everyone just on social media. It really did feel like it was going to be. And it kind of has, to a degree, become the next big thing. It's got a book, I mean, a movie deal or a TV show deal.
Yep.
So we are the outliers here for sure. But both of us, for some reason, without even talking about it until recently, we just realized how much we had averted our gaze from that book the entire of 2024.
Can we also talk about the fact that his name is Kingfisher?
Yeah. I know a lot of people say that they just have to kind of like turn a blind eye to that.
Like, just imagine someone saying Kingfisher in bed and then you're just like, yeah, no.
Absolutely not. I am picturing like a mackerel on a fishing line.
Literally.
I just cannot picture this man in any kind of a way. And I don't love the fact that they've got him on the front cover, but that's a story for another day. That's book anyway. Covers. A popular release that I didn't care to read. This one, I suppose it wasn't as popular. It actually got a Goodreads award, so it obviously was popular in some crowds, maybe not so much in the ones that we are around, but The Ministry of Time. I think it was the one that Hayley Pham really loved, where they invented time travel. It actually got Book of the Year.
I was confused. I couldn't remember what book that was for a second.
Yeah, anyway. The cover initially had me really hooked in, and I saw so many people rating it really highly, and it has got a really, really high average, and a lot of people have run to read it the second it came out, and I just didn't. I didn't either. I think it's so vague. It's one of those plots where, like, other than I understand that the British intelligence have invented time travel, I believe, and so they're bringing people back. Well, you
understand a lot more than I do.
But beyond that, I believe it needs to be, well, from what I could understand from reviews, it's like, if you don't relate personally to the characters, it's not maybe going to be for you. And anything that feels like it's going to be very, very heavily reliant on me being able to bond with the characters.
Yeah.
I prefer, in a personal preference, I like books where no matter what sort of walk of life you've had, you can enjoy a book. That's kind of how I like to go into it. But anyway, that was just a book that I saw got a lot of awards and accolades, more so maybe than popularity. Definitely. It was just really recognized in those worlds, especially in the publishing world. And
it was
just
on that tomorrow level, really, wasn't it?
It was kind of, it like almost jumped past influencers and went straight to like critics sort of thing. And I just, I didn't, and I don't know if I ever will. I don't really know why. It's just one of those books where it's kind of like Quicksilver, where it's like it seems like it would be maybe something I would enjoy, but there's something that just really is making me avoid it.
I feel like it's one of those that unless someone like puts it in front of your face and says, you need to read this, it's one that you're like, I appreciate that it's there, but it's not something that I'm like gravitating towards.
Absolutely.
So anyway, next up we've got an author that you loved that not enough people are talking about.
I have one here that I think is starting to get a bit more traction. Anne Liang is the author, and she is signed here in Australia anyway with HarperCollins. She wrote A Song to Drown Rivers, and she has now just come out with a dark academia book called I Am Not Jessica Chen, and I've got that on my shelf ready to read.
I've been seeing that book
everywhere. She has such a beautiful way with words, and I think the way that she is able to tackle so many different genres is just so exciting to me. I love authors who are so like ready to just jump into any genre, any walk of, or like a story that pops into their mind and they run with it. It's exciting for me because you just never know what their next release is going to look like. And they're often standalones. I don't think she's done, and I'm craving standalones lately. I do so many series. And so I'm so excited for an author who's just ready to pop out a standalone here, there, and everywhere in a bunch of different genres. Her writing is just so enjoyable, so unbelievably enjoyable and meaningful. I loved A Song to Drown Rivers. It was one of my favorite reads of last year for sure. So that is who I wish would be getting more traction.
I heard you talk about that, but you've never kind of told me I need to read it, but now I'm intrigued and I feel like I need to add her books to my TBR.
I'm trying to think whether or not I think it would be a book, but then sometimes every now and then a book I don't know if you'll love, you end up do. So I, it's one that I will always recommend. It was actually up there with a book that I would want to recommend to everyone read.
That's called
reading. So I just, so yeah, my author that I want more eyes on is Anne Liang. She's also absolutely stunning. Like a moment for.
I saw someone meet her recently.
She is gorgeous and she's super sweet. I've messaged with her a couple of times and she was delightful. Lovely. So I just thought she would be my shout out author that I hope more people get their eyes across. Who is your author?
Speaking of beautiful people, also another Australian author, we've got Stacey McEwan, which I think you know that I absolutely adore her.
Absolutely.
Glacian Trilogy series, which is a fantasy series that I think I started reading. The first book in that series I read quite a while ago when I hadn't really heard much about it. I just picked it up. Yeah, Ledge. And I picked it up randomly in the bookshop, decided to read it. And then I think that book wasn't traditionally published, but I think the second and third book in her series ended up being traditionally published. And it's just one of those fantasy series, particularly with trilogies, it's really hard to get it right. I feel like you've got like the first book's really good, then the second book is generally quite a lull, and then the third book is either a very much a hit or miss. And I feel like the more that I read that series, the more I just loved it. And I thought the third book was going to be one that I was like, oh, okay, I feel like this is going to end amazingly, but not be, you know, such like a 5-star read.
Yeah.
But it just kept getting better.
I feel like, all I've heard is you loving the, especially book 2 and 3. And it's actually made me want to read them.
I think book 3 was almost my favorite. And not a lot of fantasy series last books end up being my favorite books. So I was really surprised by this. She is literally the queen of cliffhangers. Like, I am telling you, she is brutal. And I don't know if you've seen her on TikTok, because that
she's hilarious.
She is hilarious, and that is her personality. And I feel like she brings that to her series. She has a new book coming out. I think it's
August,
June or July, August. I can't remember what day. It's called A Forbidden Alchemy. So I'm so excited to start
it. It looks
that.
Gorgeous. The cover is
it
stunning.
It does. Yes. Mm. And she was saying it's giving like the what's Cillian Murphy's character in Peaky Blinders?
Thomas Shelby.
Yeah, that guy. That guy is giving him and Grace. So
get out.
That was what she was
that
like.
That sold me.
I know. Oh. So I was like, I need this. But yeah, if while I'm waiting for that, if anyone hasn't picked up a Stacey McEwan book, amazing.
Sign to do so. That's my kick in the butt
to
read.
You've been looking to pick up Ledge, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been Ledge? Because they're not coming out in that. I know bookshelf girlies will understand this, who like to have their bookshelves looking like coordinated. They don't have the second book out in the tall format anymore, just 1 and 3, and it is bugging me to no end. So I'm just waiting until I can find them all in the same size, because that is driving me nutso.
Also, do you love a fantasy book with quests?
I do love a fantasy book with
because
quests.
Because this has a lot of quests.
I do love quests.
And adventure. And found family, the side characters, gotta say, the side characters are absolutely amazing.
That's so
we love great side characters.
Yes.
I feel like you need it.
They honestly, there is no point to a story, in my opinion, where the only characters that we care about or get any information about are the two main characters. We need those side characters.
You get sick of them. Like, I feel
you
like
do.
I get
no matter how
the
great they are, you get sick of the main characters.
Yeah.
So you need those side characters to not just be the comedic relief, but they also need to have some depth. And I think that the second, like if you're saying that Stacey McEwan knows how to write a side character, that is an amazing immediate tick in my mind.
That was
I just go,
the
okay.
highlight of book 3.
Oh,
was the
that's
side
so
characters.
Exciting.
So
when they fleshed
come
out
back to me when you've read that again with the other list of books that you haven't read that I have that I keep telling you to read.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I know.
It's never ending, isn't
it? Yeah, truly. Okay, let's move on to the next question. We have a this one could be, I wonder if we'll have the same answer to this.
I think we might.
A trope that we got, or that you got sick of reading in 2024.
Okay, so a trope that I got sick of reading is a knife to throat does not give the same effect anymore. Give me something like throwing a whiskey bottle at your head.
We very much have a similar thing here. I wrote the, in general, I actually started to just get over the typical enemies to lovers micro tropes that we were seeing in romantasy books. They are just being overdone. That, as you said, the knife to throat, the who did this to you scenes, like I just think that they are being like mass marketed at this point, to the point that none of them, as you said, are hitting anymore in the way that they used to. I feel like I can almost predict when they're going to happen.
Yeah, it's like they're writing these books for the tropes to fit the book.
Absolutely.
It's not like we're writing the book and then the tropes fit to the story. 2024 was the year that we found out we were more fantasy romance girls mm-hmm. than romantasy girls. I feel Absolutely. Like we need, as much as we love a romance in a fantasy book, we need a decent fantasy plot and world
mm-hmm.
and the romance to be more of a subplot. Because Absolutely. I feel like once you've read the same sort of story, like you said, with the same sort of tropes in it, it just becomes repetitive and it's not enjoyable. So you need that world. You need that magic system to kind of change that for you and
that,
change your view.
The backdrop is really what is going to distinguish it. And if we're relying, well, in our opinions or in my opinion, if we're relying so heavily on that plot, I mean, sorry, if that romance is the thing that we are holding this whole story together with, it you may as well just, in my mind, I may as well just be reading a unique romance book.
Yeah, for especially when you're reading a series too. Like, fair enough if it's a standalone fantasy book, but if you're reading a series where this romance is going to continue, there's only so much of these two people that you can see if there's not a good magic system or plot going on.
Absolutely.
Without it feeling repetitive or boring. So.
Exactly. Bring back unique micro tropes
and yearning. Bring back yearning while you're at it.
Truly.
Anyway, next we've got a book you already want to reread.
I don't know if I'm cheating a little bit with this answer because I'm wanting to reread it so that I can continue the series because I have forgotten what happened in this book, and that is the Book of Azrael.
I knew you were going to say that because you talked about this the other day.
Because I read that whilst being in the midst of so many other series, which was my bad. I think it was a prompt they pulled in my TBR jar, and I was so excited to read it, but I really just should have continued it because now it is a blur in my mind. And so I know I really enjoyed it. I just need to go back and reread it so that I can continue it because I think if I picked up book two right now, your girl would be so lost. I would be so unbelievably lost. So that is my reread. What would you be rereading?
I definitely want to reread the Book of Azrael. And I remember you talking to me throughout you reading it saying mm-hmm. there is so much going on with this plot. So I feel like it's one of those series, that you need to kind of read back to back.
You've got to be locked in. Yeah,
which I think we're starting to get a bit better with this year. Anyway, the book that I want to reread, which I'm not going to reread because the release date got pushed back, and that is When the Moon Hatched by Sarah J. Parker.
Absolutely.
All the Sarah writers, fantasy writers, just have me in a chokehold, honestly. So I feel like this book, it just one of those books that spoke to your soul kind of thing. And I don't really know why exactly, but I feel like it gave me everything in a fantasy book that I know and love.
Mm-hmm.
And I obviously was a little bit intimidated by the glossary at the start. And I feel like you can kind of go into that without reading it, I suppose.
I used it more as a reference point. If I was confused at all, I would just flick to the front just to get clarification. I didn't try to memorize it.
Because I feel like it feels overwhelming trying to like read all of that and then try and start a book where you're learning the fantasy world. We are doing lots of world building at the start. You're getting to know the characters. I think the most confusing thing for me was their names, like pronunciation of their names. But anyway, I loved our main characters. I loved Khan in particular. He is a patient man.
He is a patient man.
And I just loved where we took this story. I really hope in book two we get more of like the dragons and learn more about that because I feel like we didn't get a lot of
I think
that.
It's queued up to do that though.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's been pushed back.
Yes. If you guys don't know, it has been pushed. What is it? The Ballad of Falling Dragons. Ballad of Falling Dragons has been pushed back to 2026 and we don't even know when in 2026. It could be the end of 2026.
Which, I mean, good on her for not just pushing it out just to meet the deadline. Yeah. She said she wants to do it justice, which I am so here for. But at the same time, I'm heartbroken because that was easily my most anticipated read of this year.
Literally, it was one of mine as
well. Or like top two anyway.
Definitely up there. I know it was one of our favorite books from 2024.
Easily.
So if one of the Sarahs could at least have a book coming in the next 6 to 8 months.
Give me something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Give me something to look forward to.
Okay. Yeah, so that was my book that I was planning to reread that this year. It is in my rereads jar, but I don't think I'll reread it until...
Wait until closer, I reckon.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, a book that... next question, everybody. Sorry, is a book that the other person loved that we didn't, which doesn't happen a lot, if I'm totally honest.
Yeah.
But yeah, what was a book that you... didn't love that I loved.
Yeah, so...
Bracing myself here.
Yeah, I feel like you kind of know what this book could be. It is Done and Dusted by Lila Sage.
Mm-hmm. I can see why.
Yeah, I just... We are kind of deep into Elsie Silver's series at the moment.
Big time.
Yeah, so we are really enjoying that. And I... Done and Dusted by Lila Sage was the first cowboy romance book that I read. And I don't know if it was my mood at the time when I was reading it or if it just was a bit too short for me, but the insta-lust in that I couldn't look past.
It was very insta-lusty.
It was very insta-lusty, and I think you and I both know that I don't love insta-lust. Yeah. I need, like I said, bring back yearning, but I know that's what, like, it's different in Elsie Silver's series because I feel like you've got a bit more depth to the characters. I found I didn't feel like I had a lot of depth to... What's the main girl's name?
It's Luke and Amelia? Emmy.
Yeah. Whereas I feel like, I know for you, you related a little bit to the character, whereas I didn't relate to the character. I didn't love the story because it was very fast-paced. It was only, like, what, 200-something pages?
It's, like, 280 pages. It's so short.
Yeah, I know. And the insta-lust. So, I had nothing that really made me obsess over the story or the book. So, unfortunately, I mean, it wasn't a bad book. I think I still rated it 3 stars, but it just isn't a book that I loved. I do, however, want to continue the series.
The third book is my favorite. Yeah. I love that. I actually preferred it. It's a very similar storyline to Heartless by Elsie Silver, and I actually preferred Lost. Okay. And Lassoed. It's the same. It's nanny, redhead, like a single dad. It is the actual...
interesting.
Very, very similar, but I actually personally prefer the way that Lost and Lassoed did it.
Okay. I might have to pick up the next books because I definitely do want to continue the series, but unfortunately, I feel like for my first cowboy romance, I had high expectations because of how many people loved it. And then...
It's a very quick, fun time. I just remember I binge read it, it was like a very summery afternoon. And I think because it's so short, I think it was just, I was, you know, out on the balcony with my coconut watermelon water and I was just having a fun, goofy time. And I think that's why I enjoyed it. I think it was like a 4.25. I think it did exactly what I thought I wanted it to do at the time. I didn't want it to be anything else than it was. So I think that's why I enjoyed it. But I totally see when people don't like it.
Yeah.
I can see that if I was in a different mood, I probably would have felt the same way.
Yeah. I feel like you start and finish this while I was working. Like, I think you literally started and finished this in my
you
entire shift.
You saved lives
shift.
And literally. I wrote a cowboy.
Yeah, save a horse.
So, my book that I know that you really enjoyed that
I'm trying to think.
It's one that we spoke about not too long ago. It was the first book I read of the year, and you only just recently read it. I think you read this, I'm pretty sure, in 2024. I may have actually got this wrong. Okay. You could have read it at the very in January, but I'm pretty sure it was
December. I actually have no idea.
Is the second installment to the Letters of Enchantment series, which is Ruthless Vows.
Oh, yes. No, I read that in December.
It was December.
Yeah, late
I
December.
Thought so.
Yeah.
So I read this, it was New Year's Day, and I don't know if it was what I had expected, like I was waiting on it for. Also, Divine Rivals was not necessarily a 5-star read for me either, so I don't think it was...
That hurts me.
Yeah, it was more of a 4.25. I enjoyed it, but I don't think that it was something that... It hasn't lingered necessarily in the same way that it has with other people, but this second installment, just for some reason... just really let me down. I don't know if I was expecting too much of it. I think maybe I was expecting more fantasy and it really just delivered more on the whimsy and the... It's more of a realistic setting
definitely.
With a very subplot of fantasy. And I think maybe I thought, well, if they're going to step the fantasy and the war forward, we're going to get a lot more of that. And maybe because it didn't, I just had my expectations in the wrong position. And so it could be on me, but I just think for me, comparative to how you came off the back of it really loving it.
I really did love that.
Yeah, you did. And like when you would talk about it, I wish I felt that way about it. But when I look back on it, I can't get my mind to feel that way about that story. I just feel that in so many ways I thought it was okay. I don't think it was bad. I just think that it was like 3.5, if that's like a middle of the range. It was passable, but it wasn't what I was looking for. I
definitely feel like it is more of a magical realism
absolutely
than fantasy.
Yep.
I definitely loved I was kind of a bit nervous that it would feel a bit, like I said, with duologies as well, it can be really hard to nail that. And I really loved the storyline, and particularly, like I've told you, the way that we use the typewriter in the second book. And
it was
I love how it's written, the whimsical, cozy vibes.
She has
of it
beautiful
all.
Writing.
She has absolutely beautiful writing. I was obsessed. I think I underlined pretty much in every single page. But this was one that I also was hesitant to read because I feel like I don't know if it was like your review plus so many others who were like, this was a little bit disappointing. I kind of was nervous to pick it up, but
I think it got reviewed very mixed.
Yeah, I know when it first came out, it was very mixed reviews because I read Divine Rivals just before Ruthless Vows come out, and then I was going to pick up Ruthless Vows, and then I saw so many people have mixed reviews about it, and so then I kind of was like, I don't want to ruin the experience of Divine Rivals for me, so I just ignored it.
Good
and
plan.
Put it on my
good plan.
But a few close friends of mine read it and said, no, you need to, it's better than the first one. It's not as great as the first one, but I definitely think it's up there. Like Divine Rivals for me was a 5-star read. I just loved that book. I resonated with it. I loved, like I said, I love a good whimsical writing that really gives me the vibes. I'm here for the vibes and lots of character development.
Absolutely. So I would love one episode for us to, this is a slight tangent, but it did just make me think about it, one episode I would love for us to like dissect what we both look for and love in books, because I think, as although we have very similar tastes in so many ways, there are slight nuances to what we really gravitate to or what really wins us over in a book, and it would just be so interesting just to see what it is necessarily about certain things or what genres that we really latch onto, just because like the way that you talk about that, I go like, oh okay, we do maybe value or prioritize certain things in books. So that just made me like think about that.
I feel like you're definitely, as a list girly, you've got a lot of boxes, whereas mine's like, I'm here for the vibes.
I think and sometimes it's to my own detriment or enjoyment sometimes, but I like to analyze and sit back and think the why and the how of books. And if there is something that doesn't feel like it's adding up for me, not that this is a reflection on Ruthless Vows per se, but if something feels like it was too easily done or this like it blurred over how certain things came to be, I think I hold on to that and it bugs me than I think. I can't really necessarily look past it for other positive elements. That thing will still bug me. And I think I felt that a little bit towards the end.
But it's so bizarre because like you love Done and Dusted. And I'm like, and I'm just like, this is like the most vibesy, like insta love, everything that I think you would hate.
I think it was just
a
dopamine hit when I needed it. I think truly if I read it now, I probably would be like, Ainsley, what were you thinking? Like, I don't almost want to reread it because I think I will think of it differently. But for what it was at the time, strange anomaly. Really, for the rest of my reading, strange anomaly.
Because sometimes I'm like, hey, Ainsley, you need to give them the benefit of the doubt. It is,
you
it
need
is
to
not
remind
a
me
real life story.
You often have to bring me back and be like,
bring you back down to earth.
Like, Ainsley, just remind us, especially when I was reading, we won't get into it now, but Part of Your World recently, I remember that it was a full-on therapy session in our messages where Kiana was having to remind me that this story was, in fact, not real and that I needed to maybe cut these characters some slack.
Yeah, there was some very intense voice noting going on during reading but anyway, that's for another
that's
day.
That's for another day. I know. And then I think we're going to round it off with a quote from 2024 that has really stuck with you. So any book, something that just regularly, whether it be it comes to your mind often or whenever you see that quote written, it just makes you feel something. Yes. I wonder if we're going to have the same book. We may.
I feel like we may do.
And it, yeah. So this is going to be like our quote of 2024, let us say. That's a big statement, but quote of 2024. What is yours?
Okay. I feel like this needs no introduction. And I feel like you know exactly.
I think you might say the same sentence as I'm about to say.
I don't know if I can say this without crying, honestly. But I feel like all the girlies, this is going to hit for you guys. In another life, I'll meet you there.
That's what mine says. Oh my God. Mine says, in another life, I nod and offer him a weak smile. I'll meet you there.
And now we're crying.
We won't even say what book that is.
I've got goosebumps right now. I've got literal goosebumps.
I got teary-eyed when I was looking up the quotes. And the second that you said you weren't going to be able to get through it without crying, I thought to myself, she's got the same book me, at least. We've landed on the same book.
We have. I mean, how can you not, though?
And that
also
hurts.
The two chapters.
out of that book. Oh my goodness me, yeah. We're trying to keep it vague just for those of you who may not have read it. But yeah, there are, you've got a lot to look forward to, and I promise it, as much as it's devastating, it is beautiful at the same time.
It was your
And the
most
fact that we did not, I swear we did not tell each other what we're doing, this thing, the fact that we had the same quote.
The exact same quote.
Same brain,
just
truly.
Literally.
Opposite sides of the same brain.
Yeah, literally. I'm like two left feet and you're like the reasonable part of the brain. You're like the frontal lobe.
But then you're the amygdala giving us all the emotional, yeah. Like, the when I'm sitting there going like, but this doesn't work in analysis, you're like, and feel something.
So, anyway. Oh, God. Now we have to reread that, don't we? We need to reread that series now.
We do really need to reread that series. It is well overdue.
Yeah, that was our questions that we had.
Yeah, we'd love to know if you have any, like, if you want to answer any of those, we'll put them in the, if you're not following the Instagram, which I assume most of you probably come from that, being our very first post.
Yes.
But we will post those questions if you want to give them an answer for yourself, just because it's a lot of fun to reflect on your 2024 year reading.
And
in just a different light.
We're reading so much that you often read and then you just put it to the side and don't really actually think back on the book. Like, I know I do that a lot, especially if I haven't written a review on the book. I'm just kind of reading them, especially when you're in one of those moods where you are just kind of flying through books.
Yeah.
And then you're like, hang on, I actually took a very...
You want to marinate for a little while in it.
Let it marinate. Let me dissect all these quotes that I've highlighted, my 200 highlights on Goodreads, and actually
and let them sit appreciate and them. Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
We're just looking for that next high all the time.
All the time. On to the next. On to the next.
So to finish up, we have a bookish rant of the week that we would like to talk about. Would you like to start with your bookish rant, or do you not have a bookish rant this
week? I'm still marinating on what my bookish rant of the week. I've had many a rant, but like in my own life, but I'm just trying to think bookish wise. If you want
to
go first.
Do you want me to start?
Yeah, why don't you lead the way?
I don't know if I would classify it as a rant as such, but I think we've all been on BookTok recently, and particularly with all the hype around the Fourth Wing TV show that we are so desperately clinging to, waiting for a
cast announcement. A date, anything.
Yes,
really.
We are waiting for a cast announcement. And a good person on there named Emilio such and such, I can't
something
print,
or
yeah,
other.
Whatever his last
blah,
name
blah,
is.
Blah, 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 muscles, blah, blah,
has
blah.
Has been feeding the book girlies with all these videos and all these posts.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, it's not a rant, but I'm like, if this guy doesn't get cast as Zayden, I'm going to be angry. Because I'm like, I feel like we've talked about this. He's kind of like the perfect Zayden picture that we
and
see.
He's either, because I thought either he's a master and he's realized that people are casting him regardless and he's going to run with the traction of it, and maybe he's just pretend flaunting it. But I'm not really sure what's going on there. But yeah.
I feel like if we don't...
There's not many other people I've seen who have really resonated, because when you write a character that's almost larger than life and not really almost human, when they are so big, so muscly, so beautiful, so strong, all these things that you think
characteristics that we... Yeah. These high expectations that
so
we
when
have
you have someone that you kind of are happy to compromise on as a mere human walking around on this earth, it's... I really hope that they
I
go
hope
with
that
him.
He... particularly because he's feeding into our delusions. And I'm like, if he ends up not being cast, plus he's feeding into all these delusions, I'm going to be one angry book girly, because I'm now picturing him on the TV show. So if he doesn't end up getting cast, I'm coming for him. That sounds really
take that
wrong.
How you I was going to say, take that as you will.
Many different ways.
Many, many a way to take that.
So I wouldn't say that's a bookish rant, but it's like, it's frustrating because I'm like, I'm nervous that he's not going to get cast at all.
Yep.
And then it's kind of like, we've got this picture perfect vision.
That is very
fair. So, Rebecca Yaros, if you happen to be listening to our podcast.
If you happen to stumble into this corner of the internet, please take notes.
Alrighty. So
that brings us to the end of our very first episode.
The end. We have made it. We have survived. We have survived a cyclone and we have now survived filming.
And we've recording. Oh, you did have a coffee. I was going to say we've survived that caffeine, but no, you did actually have that.
We did. I did actually have caffeine. I think you should know that I would not survive without caffeine.
The podcast does not occur before caffeine has been ingested.
Caffeine is first, podcast
is
second.
Get your priorities straight.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for listening. If you've made it here,
thank you so much, everyone.
We appreciate
it. Have made it. Yeah, if you've made it this far.
We love you. We love you so much.
we'll be posting every Wednesday from now on. So we need to get our butt into gears.
Oh, yeah. We've got so many fun ideas planned.
We have so many ideas planned. And if you haven't already, go follow us over on Instagram. We also have a TikTok, but we haven't.
Yeah, we haven't really activated that yet.
We haven't really activated that yet. So mainly over on our Instagram. We've got our personal Instagrams and our book, our chapter by chapter dot pod is our bookish. Yeah. So
we will eventually migrate onto the YouTube space. We're just, we're baby stepping it at the moment. So
yeah, one thing at a time. We get overwhelmed.
Yeah. And this feels like a bite size that we were able to do. So yeah, feel free to engage with us in that space. But other than that, we just love you so much. We're so grateful you're here.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
And we'll see you next Wednesday.
Yeah. For next week's chapter. Woo.